The island of Mull off the west coast of Scotland is home to a number of rare eagles. They're being studied by Earthwatch scientist Dr. Paul Howarth as part of the Eagles of Mull research project.
If we're to conserve these eagles, we do need to know some of their requirements. And the reason why we need to know their basic requirements is that land use, particularly in Scotland, is rarely static. In the last 50 years, we have seen very large land use changes in terms of conifer afforestation, perhaps decreases in some areas in sheep, increases in others, a general increase in the numbers of red deer, and now, more recently, developments such as wind farms. And if we're to correctly assess these developments and make sure that eagles and, in fact, other large predatory birds can live with them in the future, then we'll need to know how those developments might impact on an eagle's range. So, for instance, would it really matter if, say, just 5% of an eagle's range was covered in trees? And some of the work that we've done here has shown that even that level of conifer afforestation can have an impact, but yet in other areas, better territories possibly could withstand maybe 10 or 20% of the range being planted, and the eagles will still do well. But by knowing where the eagles go, what they feed on, how much space they need, then at least we can make these recommendations and hopefully conserve these fine birds.
And what do you know about the impact, for example, of wind farms on eagles?
To date in Britain, there really is very little hard information. It's still far too early to say exactly what impact they'll have. It's likely that everything will depend on the scale of the wind farm development and its exact positioning. But the most likely scenario, I would think, is that we won't lose that many eagles to turbines via collisions. But it could well be the case that areas where turbines are placed, particularly on ridges, may well be avoided by eagles, and therefore there will be some sort of displacement effect. But we're really not going to know that perhaps for another 5 or 10 years until more of the wind farms that now have permission are actually constructed.
The research that you've got, what's it actually going to be used for? I mean, who's going to have access to that and how is it going to be used?
The research that's done here will appear in several forms. Some will go direct in report form to the likes of Scottish Natural Heritage to inform their policies, and other aspects of the research will be published in the scientific literature for everyone to look at. I think what you always have to bear in mind with eagles is that since they take 5 years to reach maturity and then they can breed for another 20 to 25 years before they die, this is a fairly slow and a very long-term process.
Now, eagles are obviously doing very well on Mull, but how about the rest of Scotland?
They had recovered from a low in the 1920s and 30s, and now throughout the Hebrides they're doing extremely well, and in one or two parts of the west of Scotland, but unfortunately in the east and south there are probably less eagles than there should be, and judging by information collected by the RSPB on poison incidents over the past 20 years, it looks as though unfortunately eagles are still being persecuted in the east and south of Scotland, and that is often in association with grouse moor management.
I thought that eagles were protected and that you weren't allowed to poison them. Is that not the case?
That is the case, but this could be as a result of deliberate intention, deliberate poison, or these could be poisons that are put out to sort of control crows and foxes that are then taken up secondarily by eagles. In the past, Ireland was the only country on earth where eagles were completely persecuted to extinction. There has been the beginnings of a reintroduction programme there, which actually is now going very well. 6 young golden eagles were taken from Scotland to be released in Donegal. They've been taken over there aged about 7 weeks, and then they're sort of fed without any access to sort of a sight of human beings in some large open cages, and then simply released in early August. They're doing extremely well, and we're finding that the survival of young birds over there is probably about 95%, and so we're hopeful that by the time this project begins to come to an end in Ireland after 5 years, that the first birds will be starting to breed in Ireland probably since about 1917, and it's really quite exciting. And I'm also hopeful that at some point in the future, maybe those that are interested in raptors in, say, North Wales might begin to think about a possible reintroduction programme for Snowdonia, because it's likely that they bred there perhaps in the 19th century as well.
I've got to ask you, how do you go about safely, both from your point of view and the eagle's point of view, catching a 7-week-old baby golden eagle?
It's usually done by 2 or 3 people. You'll have one person below the nest, you'll have a person at the top, and someone going down the cliffs, all roped up, obviously for health and safety reasons, and then the young eagle is grabbed and put into a bag and then lowered down to the person at the bottom of the cliff, who then carries it off. It's put into a sort of a specially constructed basket and then carried off and put in a large cage, and then usually they've been transported to Ireland within 3 or 4 days of being taken, and so far they've showed no ill effects. There's been no ill effects on the collectors either. They've all survived the experience.
It sounds from that perhaps eagles are quite adaptable. In other words, they've got quite a sort of a robust psychology.
I think that's right. I mean, just taking them to Ireland, there's been a lot of concern that they wouldn't have the parents to sort of help them in their kind of hunting technique, but they seem to have adapted to their new home very well, and you tend to find that in most places where they're left alone, where they're not persecuted and where people are happy with them, then they will do very well. And although most people think they're only associated with very wild habitats, I think it's true that they would occur at lower elevations and on the edge of many areas with farmland eventually if they were just tolerated more.
That's Dr. Paul Howarth.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.